Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and this is another episode of the Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one with someone in the literary world. My guest today is Jeffrey Glukman, who has just published his latest novel, Murder of Sex. Jeffrey, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much, Simon. Thank you for having me.
I love talking to authors. In fact, it's one of the reasons I got into the business of reviewing. I read a book. It doesn't matter what book, but I always have questions. And I found that by becoming a reviewer, I had an opportunity oftentimes to talk to the author, and I could ask those awkward questions.
Right.
I was hoping that before we start talking about Murder of Sex, you might tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. Who is Jeffrey Glukman?
Well, I guess, just a writer, you know, trying to tell a good story. I think the interest in writing for me started all the way back when I was 8 years old. I wanted to be a writer, and then started writing back then, nothing noteworthy, and continued on, you know, writing through school and all that stuff. But then kind of got sidetracked, I guess, away from the writing passion and endeavor, and got into other things.
You mean is that nasty thing called work, where you have to earn a living to pay your bills.
Yeah, exactly. But also, I think that, you know, a lot of us are, you know, and myself included, I think, we're led astray from listening to our heart and following our heart and going with maybe something that we know will, you know, create a good living for us, but isn't what we want to do in our heart. So I'd say that was true, and that's why I say distracted. But then I got back to the writing, and kind of in a backwards way through nonfiction that I wrote, and then also freelance articles for print magazines and that sort of thing. And then finally, I had, you know, been writing longer pieces, and finally came out with my first novel, Deadly Exchange. Then I've been pretty much focusing on, you know, writing fiction since then, although I do a little bit of ghost writing as well, too.
Oh, you do a little bit of ghosting. You're a well-rounded writer.
I hope so.
It was way back, I believe it was 2009, that you published Deadly Exchange. And it was a book that I greatly enjoyed. And when I heard that you had written Murder of Sex, I knew I had to read it. But I'm curious, why the long gap between books?
Well, it's a funny story in that has multiple components to it. Well, one thing I was, Deadly Exchange came out a little bit before you reviewed it and read that. It won an award in 2009 for, as a spy thriller. And then, but I was working on promoting it and that sort of stuff, and kind of got sidetracked with that and some other, nonfiction endeavors. And then in the meantime, Murder of Sex had been actually pretty much ready to go at that time. But the thing was, I wasn't really sure how to market it because it's a peculiar piece. And so, and as you know, in 2009, the big hurrah that came out with 50 Shades of Grey came out the year later, I think. And then when that came out, it kind of gave me an idea on how to market it, although I wouldn't say Murder of Sex is necessarily an erotic book, but certainly I think those readers could enjoy it, right? So,
absolutely. But in fact, let's talk a little bit about Murder of Sex. Without giving away any spoilers, would you like to share with our listeners a little bit about the plot line, which, incidentally, I think is very clever?
Well, great. Yeah, I know. I'm glad that you like that and that you were able to see, I think many people would be able to see the deeper, subtler, profundities that are within the book, because while there is a fair bit of sex, it is not really about sex. It's, you know, it's about the main character, Josh Flagon, who's a medium university-sized literature professor, and he's basically teaches a couple classes, but he's also writing a new, piece or work on Henry Miller's writings, particularly The Tropic of Cancer. And while he's at the university, he becomes involved in what, you know, on the surface might seem a September to May romance with a co-ed. You know, she's a young student in one of his classes, and it's a very steamy, passionate, loving relationship, very intense for him particularly. From that relationship, he begins to, uncover things about himself in relationship and just in general that he wasn't necessarily aware of before. And also then eventually through the help of a friend, another professor at the university, and then eventually, oddly enough, and this is one of the ironies in the story, he becomes under the influence of a Puerto Rican gangster as well. But that's kind of, I don't want to give too much away.
Basically, the book begins at the very end. And I don't want to give too much away. I think it's up to the reader to discover. But it's an interesting vehicle that you use to get the story rolling. Where did the idea come from? You know, using the jail.
Well, that really perfectly fits into, you know, one of the deeper themes, which is about emancipation. And so, of course, with any sort of freedom issue, there has to be imprisonment. And so it's not right at the end. It's basically in, it's like it begins about X on the A to Z alphabet, and then he takes you back through A through, basically Z in telling the story to the inmates in prison. Because, you know, we start in prison, and then he begins to tell the story, which hasn't been told to anybody except for maybe one other person. We want to know, why is he in prison? Here's this, white literature professor And why is he in prison, right? And then it starts to unravel the story of how he got there.
Right. I really thought it was a most creative way, even though, you know, the reader kind of, you know, has the end story. However, it's not the whole story. And
exactly.
Yeah, only by reading the rest of the book do you see how the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle fit together. So kudos to you on coming up with a fabulous way of telling the tale.
Well, thanks. Thank you very much.
I have to ask you, you're obviously a very creative writer. Where did the whole story concept come from? You know, is it based on it's some real life crime, or you just woke up one morning and said, "I've got the plot"?
Well, it's a multi-layered concept, because, as you know, in the story, there's numerous different things woven in. So we have the emancipation theme, we have the sex and obsession issues. We also have looking at the origin of even our species, right, and the evolution of our species. And so... And we also have some ancient esoteric information about Christian texts and that sort of thing, which all might seem on the surface, God, how are these things going to be linked together in a story? That's really where the original idea kind of came from, was three different things. One was, I was reading Dr. Charles K. Brain's book, The Hunters or the Hunted, and he proposed from an archaeological dig that, mankind was not always the hunter. And actually, they were hunted by the big cats, the saber-toothed tigers, at one time. So to me, that kind of put an interesting idea in my head about, we were prey at one time, and now we've become the hunters. And what are people typically preying on? Well, what I was seeing in society was that there was a lot of sexual predation, not in the sense of stalking or anything like that, but even just in regular relationships. So that was the first thing. The second thing was, I had gone to Hawaii, specifically to the island of Molokai, and spent some time there. And there was a black lava peak that jutted out into the ocean, which is featured. I put it into the story. And I thought to myself when I saw this thing, and this was like in the mid-90s, so you can see how far back the story germination began. And I saw this thing and I was like, well, that would be the perfect place for a murder. And that's always kind of, I think, so many people, so many authors have written about, the perfect murder, right? And, others, some have tried to prove it doesn't exist. Some have tried to show that it does. Well, anyway, so that was the second thing. And then the third thing was really the thing about this whole thing about sex and obsession, and how would somebody in that situation go about freeing themselves, from that. So those were the three elements that really began the whole story idea.
It's just classic. I mean your character Sam is the way you tell the story of mankind. And again, it's delightful the way you have woven in bits and pieces of actual research. Are you yourself a huge reader?
Yeah, absolutely. I think any writer, you know, really needs to be, and I definitely am a huge, huge reader of, as you can tell from the book, a wide variety of things, right?
Right. I'll tell you what. Why don't we have an absolutely shameless commercial break? Let me ask you the question. Where can people buy the very fine Murder of Sax?
Yeah, sure. It basically, they can get, you know, at Amazon.com or .co UK, any of the Amazon sites, both Kindle versions and paperback. And the same is true at Barnes & Noble's. And Books a Million, you know, and it's available for iBooks, Kindle, Nook, the big, you know, three e-readers. And it comes, you know, I think in the Mobi format, so people can read it on their tablets as well. So those are probably the prime locations. Whether it'll be in the bookstores or not, it might be in some that carried, you know, Deadly Exchange before, but, you know, for the most part, I think people have to order online, which people are doing anyway these days, right?
Right. I used to really enjoy the good old days where you could walk into a bricks and mortar bookstore, yeah, and have no clue what you were looking for and just nose around. But unfortunately, the bricks and mortar stores seem to be going out of business.
Yeah, they're definitely they're going the way of the dinosaur.
Yeah, and you know, I really do think it's sad. sure, you can go to Amazon and you know nose around, but yeah, nothing beats seeing a physical book and picking it up and, you know, looking at the cover, the back cover. Just a wonderful way to spend time and money.
Exactly. I'm with you. I love going to bookstores and, you know, just kind of browsing through and seeing what's there, you know. You know, it's great. You can still do it in a few places, but for the most part, it's a dying art, right?
Oh, absolutely. I live in a town of 20,000 people. We have one remaining bookstore, and I've ventured into it once, and I hated every moment of it. That they seem to specialize in things I would never read.
Right.
Do you have a website and Facebook and all that happy stuff?
Oh yeah, absolutely. My website is Jeff Gluckman. Now that's GeoffGluckman.com. You can also find it at JeffreyGluckman.com as well. And Facebook, I'm definitely on there. I have my own, you know, page, but there's a page for there is a page for Deadly Exchange, but there's also a fan page for Murder of Sax, but they won't give me the dedicated page for it because I think it has Murder and Sax in the title. So what you have to do is go to Facebook.com pages and then /murder-of-sax because they won't give me the dedicated page, even though we have enough fans, but they won't give it to me. But anyway, and then, you know, I'm also on Twitter at Deadly Exchange. That's my Twitter handle. So you can connect up with me there. So,
you mentioned a little bit earlier your trip to Hawaii, and you use Hawaii as the backdrop for a fair portion of the book. Did you spend a lot of time there?
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time in Hawaii on the most of the islands, I lived on Kauai for a little bit, I've really enjoyed that state. Great place for surfing, for sure. And I was able to incorporate, you know, my experiences, you know, authentically, you know, for the story.
Right. Let's talk about your main character, Dr. Fallon. He seems to be, well, he has an interest bordering on obsession with writer Henry Miller. Would I be correct in assuming that you're a fan of Miller's various works?
Not necessarily. Josh Flagon, you know, the main character, he is basically writing a, critical work on Henry Miller and the Tropic of Cancer, particularly. And so obviously I had to research and study Miller's works, and I was fortunately able to actually interact with people that knew him, actually, you know, were friends with him, and I actually got to read some of his unpublished stuff. What was interesting about particularly Tropic of Cancer, I think that, you know, one of the things is that, one, in 1934 when it was published, it was banned for 27 years. Because of, they called it pornography that he put in there, in the sex that he put in there. But to me, it was a great way to, tell a story, but that had more subtle issues beneath. And I think he was just using the sex to get us to look at those subtle issues. What I did notice in studying Miller is that I don't think he ever himself escaped from his obsession with sex. And that is something that, you know, then takes you to Murder of Sex, in that, you know, Josh Flagon, the main character, actually does escape that obsession. So there's the link and connection so intimately between, you know, the fictional character Josh Flagon and Henry Miller.
Right. You know, as I was reading Murder of Sex, you know, I started to wonder to myself, you know, about this Miller link. Yeah, Miller obviously faced challenges with the censors of his day, and, you know, obviously times have changed. You know, today Henry Miller, Tropic of Cancer, is really classed as a 20th century classic. But, you know, certainly for 27 years, it was on the banned list. And, you know, your book, Murder of Sex, is what I would give an M for mature rating to. I don't think it's outrageous. I don't think it's going to offend anyone. You have a number of sexual scenes in it, but they're delivered in a very clever way. And being a reader, being a reviewer, I started to wonder if in some ways Murder of Sex is a kind of tongue-in-cheek homage to Miller?
No, not really. It might seem that way, but in a way, partly it is, you know, because I think that he started something that has been, you know, carried forward, which is the semi-autobiographical, you know, novel that we see a lot of today. And his was sort of that, but like I said, with deeper themes in it, and of course, what they called the pornography back then. I think in a way that was, he was a front runner, you know, for that. And now, you know, it's all over the place. And I don't think a lot of the books that are out there now are as near as interesting as Tropic of Cancer. But on the other hand, it just worked out well to tell this story of emancipation, you know, from obsession and have sex in there and all these other things that I mentioned, just to have, you know, the character writing a critical work on Miller. And even in the story, you can see the girl that he becomes involved with, Rebecca Reaper, she actually is probably more knowledgeable about Miller or more insightful about Miller's work than the professor is himself.
Right. I have to admit, I rather enjoyed that aspect. You know, the student teaching the teacher.
Exactly. Because, I mean, that's the way it so often happens. That's another irony in the story, just like I was saying about the Puerto Rican gangster being irony. Here's this Puerto Rican gangster who's read all these esoteric texts, and, you know, and the professor, when he's in prison, meets him and doesn't know anything about those things, right? So so that's great.
And on a philosophical note, I have this theory that you know, college professors, particularly in the subject of literature, do tend to become somewhat short-sighted. You know, that they will focus on one area and totally ignore everything else. That sounds very much like Josh Flagon.
Exactly. I had a professor, at university in English. He was obsessed with Faulkner. Everything Faulkner. That's all he talked about day in, day out. So, you know, I mean, you know, he was, I mean, if you wanted to know about Faulkner, he was the guy to go to. But if you wanted to talk about something else, you could forget it, right? So, absolutely, I think you're right.
Okay, I have to ask you this. You've now got two novels under your belt, and who knows, you know, what you've been doing ghosting. I know that you have an interest in poetry. What is going to be your next project?
Well, definitely the next thing, and it's already basically pretty much done, is the sequel to Deadly Exchange. So fans of Deadly Exchange, get ready, because the sequel is, with any luck, could be out later this year. I'm hoping that it would be out later, this year in time for, pre-Christmas. So it's pretty much done, and I think that'll be exciting. This book, Murder of Sex, was a little bit of a departure. I probably won't write anything else in this genre, although you never know. But this was kind of a standalone piece that I just, you know, the story had to be told. Really, what happened was, you know, the Josh Flagon's voice started talking to me one day and telling me a story, and so I had to write the story. But the next thing out will be the sequel to Deadly Exchange. So more back to the intrigue and thriller side of things.
I'm very much looking forward to it. I do hope you'll keep in touch.
Absolutely. I will let you know as soon as, and actually even, you know, do better than I did with this one prior to the release of the sequel. And absolutely. That would be great.
Our time is just about up. Do you have any parting words for our audience?
I'd say enjoy the stories and remember that things aren't always as they seem. So the story look like it's, you know, a straightforward maybe romance or a straightforward thriller, but you know, in the things that the stories I like to share, there's always something deeper.
Right. I work with a lot of authors, and I've discovered over the years that there's always more to a book than what you think. You know,
absolutely.
Sure, yeah, you can take it at the top level, just read it, enjoy it, put it down, and go, good book. But if you step back and give it some thought, there's, I won't say always, but, you know, if it's a really gifted writer like yourself, there's an undertone. Sometimes you have to dig for it, but it's always well worth finding.
Absolutely, and thank you for that compliment, and I really appreciate that.
Okay, I do have to wrap this up. Jeff, I really want to thank you for taking time out to talk to me today, and I'm sure I talk for everyone with Blogger News in wishing you every success with Murder of Sex. Before I go, one very last question. What kind of response are you getting from readers?
Well, it's been really good for the most part. People are really enjoying it. And what I'm glad to see is they're seeing the deeper, gems that are hidden within the story. So that's great. I'd say the only thing that would be even better would be to have it shared with more people, having more people read it. And, that just takes time and getting it out there and getting it chatted up, right?
Uh-oh, that dreaded M word, marketing.
I think I'm terrible at that, but...
But, you know, the thing is, only you can do it.
Yeah, I know.
Right? And that's where it sucks. I'm sure you have, other things that you'd love to be doing, rather than marketing.
yeah, like writing another story.
Exactly. Okay, Jeff, I really do have to wrap this up. So thank you very much for spending time with me today.
Well, thank you for having me on the show, Simon. I really, really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Splendid. Okay. Hopefully, we will talk again. This is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy, healthy, and safe week. And we'll be back again with another episode of the Week in Reviews very soon. Till then, goodbye.